It's been quite a service already, hasn't it? You know, one of the things that I find myself sometimes doing as a pastor is apologizing. And let me just say, when things don't quite work in the life of the church, I always want to apologize. So I noticed, I guess like some under here, that the light's not working underneath the balcony. And I was saying, oh, the light's not working. And actually, a fuse has blown. So sorry the fuse has blown. But I want to say thanks to Terry and Sean and the others who make sure that all the lights are working all the other times. And you know, I know that the sound's not been 100%, and again, I want to say sorry for that, but I want to say thank you to the PA guys, because you do an amazing job week after week, often the first people here, and if you want to help the PA team, they would love your help. Please join and help them. You know, and I want to say sorry too for communicating badly about the photo thing at the beginning, and I realized that, you know, I could have done that better, and I want to assure you that we won't put any photos. We're actually redesigning our website in the summer. It's going to be launched. We won't put any photos on our website without checking you're okay with them. We'll print them off and do that. But I want to say thank you to Simon for your willingness to do that and use your gifts, because photos really make a difference. But I also want to say sorry that sometimes as your pastor, I actually get more worked up about those things. And I want to say sorry that we sometimes get more worked up about those things than the fact that there are actually people who don't have any food around the world and are dying today because of that. And that there's not people, that there are people around the world who just haven't heard that God loves them. There's no hope. And that we get more caught up with some of those other things than we do with just the fact that some people have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to say sorry for my Jonah-like tendencies. It's been so helpful, Tim, to have this passage unpacked for us in Jonah as we're going to turn there on this World Gift Day again. But we have Jonah-like tendencies, don't we, as a church? We want things to be nice for us, settle for us. We just would prefer it that way. So when God says to Jonah, go, he says no, and we have that heartbeat. We just want things to be nice and comfortable. But then as Jonah goes to Tarshish, or tries to go to Tarshish, he gets on board his boat in Jonah chapter 1, God sends a storm. He sends stuff that unsettles him. You know, stuff unsettles us can be good for us at times, because God is wanting to do something in us to teach us and to help us. And so Jonah finds himself thrown overboard. And at the end of Jonah chapter 1, if you turn there in your Bibles with me, we find Jonah having been thrown overboard. And he's been swallowed by a fish. And we find Jonah in chapter 2 doing something that he's not done in the whole of chapter 1. In fact, he didn't do this on the boat at all. We find Jonah praying. Am I going to be better with the touch and go? Let me know if you think I would be, or I'll bend it down. Is this going to help? We'll give it a go. We find Jonah praying, and I want to read his prayer for us in Jonah chapter 2 as we come into that this morning. Jonah chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me, and I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, and to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So, Father, I pray, speak to us through your word now. Help me, help us, Lord. We don't want to be a people who are just wanting our own ease and comfort. We want to be a people who are about your business, God. Lord, so teach us, as if we were in the belly of the fish right now, teach us, Lord. Set us praying. And I ask this now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you lift the sinking? How does God lift the sinking? That's our title for our message this morning. And I wonder if you've ever felt yourself to be sinking, maybe as a Christian. You're aware you're a Christian, you love God, but it just feels like you're going through a difficult time. You're kind of, as it were, going down, not up. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel a bit like that. I know what it is to have days like that. Maybe even churches sometimes can feel like they're sinking. How does God lift a sinking church? What about a sinking city? A city in need. The series is called Jonah, Transforming a City. How does God lift a sinking city? Or what about a sinking nation? How's God going to lift a sinking nation? One of the maybe most failed states in the world is Somalia. And you might have noticed in the news this week that there was an international conference based in London on Tuesday that David Cameron was sort of hosting on Somalia. Somalia is one of those places that actually journalists very rarely get to, so we've often no idea just how bad things are. They estimate that actually 250,000 people died of starvation over the last couple of years in Somalia. Poverty is rife. There's so much violence, Islamic-controlled churches, hardly any churches allowed. In fact, official churches not allowed. Even underground Christians get persecuted and killed. We've actually, over the years, supported an orphanage for children, Somali children, who are martyred, who their parents have been martyred, and the church has provided an orphanage for them in eastern Ethiopia. I mean, it's a real mess as a country. Such huge need. How does God lift a sinking nation? It's a real place, real people. Lots of them. Like 7 million Somalis in the world. Well the conference recognizes that one of the big needs is security. And so they're going to pay, the international community has decided to pay for there to be better security forces in Somalia, in Mogadishu, particularly in around. I think one of the reasons for that partly is so that there's less piracy, because the West lose a lot of money through piracy. But I'll ask, do you reckon more money is the solution to Somali's needs? Is Somali going to be lifted by more money? What do you reckon, guys? It's no, isn't it? It's not going to really change that nation around. So what about today then? I mean, we're here and it's a gift day and we're going to give. And I hope and I'm praying that we're giving generously today and sacrificially and we're going to praise God, whatever is provided. So we announce that total next week. But you know, is our giving going to lift a sinking nation? Is that the key? Is it more money? Is that the key? Is it going to lift the sinking in Somalia? Is it going to lift the sinking anywhere? Really? Is that how God is going to lift the sinking? Through more money? And we're on a gift day today. What do you reckon? Well, that's the tension I want us to explore as we go through this message. Guys, I want you to listen attentively this morning as we unpack Jonah chapter 2. Because we're going to see that actually God lifts the sinking in ways we're often not comfortable with. We can do the money thing. But this is how God lifts the sinking. Look first. God lifts the sinking by desperate prayer. It is almost easier to give than to pray desperately. Sometimes we don't pray desperately until we find ourselves in a situation of absolute crisis. We read in Jonah chapter 1 that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. The fish was not an easy place to be. I imagine it was a confusing time. He kind of was there thinking, what's going on? But sometimes confusing times are the times where God is teaching us things in our soul. I don't know about you, but I know I've been been through times where I think, what am I doing here? Why is this happening, God? And yet those are the times when I'm often finding I cry out to God. The times when I think, I didn't plan this today. Here I am stuck in a traffic jam. And I think, ah, God, you know, why am I here? And I get really frustrated. And then I realize actually God's wanting to teach me something. And it's a time to pray. Or maybe it's a bit more serious than that. Your day begins a normal day and you end up in hospital at the end of the day. On a hospital bed. And you're thinking, God, what's all this about? Why here? And God is teaching you something. I know times when people have said to me pastorally as I've gone to visit them, it's not an easy time, it's a confusing time, but God is teaching me something through this time. And often what he's teaching them is prayer. I know for me, my prayers in those times aren't always neat prayers. They're a bit messy prayers, but boy, does it get me praying. People have even testified in a lot of these places around the world where Christians get put in prison, that prison can be those difficult belly of the fish times, but boy, times of amazing prayer. So Spurgeon once helpfully wrote, there are many things to be learned in the depths that we can never learn in the heights. Do you feel sometimes in the depths? Look out for what God's teaching you. Look out for what he wants to teach you. And one of the things he probably is looking to teach you and I is that we need to call out to him in desperate prayer. As Jonah reflects on what had gone on in this time in his life, he actually starts in verse 2 to reflect on his time in the water. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over him. It's a picture of him in the water, drowning. He's feeling overwhelmed. Maybe you can relate to that feeling sometimes in your work or in a family situation. You just feel overwhelmed. He's going down. And he cries out to God because he knows he's in need. You know, I've got this... Not the biggest vase in the world, but it's something there. And now, here it is, my daughter's shell. Jonah is going down. Just sunk. Do you ever feel like that? That there's just a whole lot above you that you can't get through it? Maybe it's even your to-do list. I have days like that. And Jonah there, as he's trying to think in the water and he's reflecting back on it and what happened and he's praying, crying out to God, he finds the language of those who've gone through situations like that before. He's calling, using the words of the psalms that he knew probably as he was growing up. He was a prophet, so he was probably aware of God's word, but in this little phrase, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. That's actually something that the psalmist used in Psalm 42. In verse 17, he's quoting from the Psalms. And again, later, as he says that, I've been banished from your sight, he's quoting from the Psalms, Psalm 31, I think it is. Yeah, 31. And this is Jonah drawing off the cries of others and saying, God, help me. You seem to have abandoned me, but I need you. And many have experienced that in their lives before. And maybe if you're feeling that, I encourage you, cry out to God. He is able to help you. I find that in my own life, when I look back over it, whether in recent weeks or times, it's the times when I'm most aware of my need or the need of those around me that I really pray. Do you remember that time when my niece a few weeks back was critically ill in America? Oh man, we prayed that weekend. Thank you, church, for the people who prayed that weekend. Why are we praying so much more that weekend than maybe this weekend? Well, there was a critical need. Are there not critical needs this weekend? Or are we just unaware of them? I think of a time when my work here at the church, when I'd been the assistant pastor for a number of years, the senior minister was called to go to another church, very clear calling, and I just felt like, oh no, how's this going to work? I was going to have to be acting pastor for a time. Some of you were here at that time, you remember it. Boy, was that a time it got me praying. I felt so overwhelmed. Found myself praying, waking up in the middle of the night, crying out to God, God, help me. But I want to ask at the moment, are you aware of your need? Are you aware of the needs around? Are you aware that actually we can't do anything without God's help? How does God lift the sinking? By them desperately praying and calling out to him. And if it's not in your own life, and so often we do have needs in our own life that we're not aware, sometimes it's our own lack of prayerlessness that's one of our biggest needs. And we need to cry out for those who God called to place in this city to reach for him. One of the helpful things of our world night, I remember being in this little seminar here where Tyler, a missionary from another country over to Brighton and Hove, was saying that one of the things he noticed about being in Brighton and Hove is it's just a spiritual battle like he hadn't experienced in this place where he'd grown up, that this is a really tough place to be a Christian. So often we just become kind of inoculated to that. We forget it. Actually, this is a place where we need to cry out to God for our mission partners, like we've been doing. Let's not make that the only prayer we pray today for those who are serving God around the world from this church. Over lunch, thank God for your food and pray for a missionary. As you go to bed, say thank you, God, for this day and pray that they'd have had a day where they know God's peace and blessing. Let's call out to God for others. Let's cry out to God for the poorest of the poor. Let's make that a habit of our lives. Don't, you know, just use that prayer calendar we've been using and say, right now, I've done that. Let's move on. See if you can be working in your life prayer for the needy around the world. And if you haven't used those prayer calendars, grab a hold of one. Even though that week on your pews and things was last week, use it this week. And let's be those that are calling out to God. Places where there's no church. I've been burdened afresh for this. You heard some of my concern for Somalia. Just want to broaden that bigger. The Muslim world is one of the places where there are the most unreached people and the least Christians or missionaries. There's a lot of persecution when you're a Christian in the Muslim world. It's tough and hard work. Slow work often. But you know, there's a huge need for churches, for Christians, for missionaries in the Muslim world. We talk about this being a mission field here. It's a massive mission field right on our doorstep. Only like 2% regular church attenders, or maybe even less than that, Brighton and Hove. You know, in many of these Muslim countries, it's like in the 0.0 something, 1 or 5% that are Christians. It's like way lower than that. There's such a need, brothers and sisters. You know, Afghanistan, they're not allowed official churches. Just not allowed. You know, Pakistan's just had a Muslim government elected again. Things have been getting harder in Pakistan recently. Christians who've been making a stand in politics have been killed. We're world mission gift day. What's God going to use to lift the sinking? He's going to use our desperate prayer, our crying out to him for some of these places around the world that need his help. There are some whole cities around the world who have less Christians than right in this room. Desperate prayer. But what we see in Jonah is this amazing thing, and this is why desperate prayer is so important. Desperate prayer just doesn't help us realize our own need. Desperate prayer causes us to actually cry out to the one who hears. He hears us. He hears our worship. He hears our prayers. We're not just here doing a service, folks. We're not just rowing through the motions. God hears our prayers. When we cry out to him, Jonah's testimony is this. In my distress, verse 2, I called to the Lord, and he, say it with me. It's there in verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and he... and he listened to my cry for mercy. God hears and answers our prayers, particularly the ones when we mean it. Those are the ones of my children that I listen to most. When they're just going, I don't listen to those ones so much. When we say, Daddy, help me. I'm there. Crying out to God, knowing that he hears. One of the wonderful things that God does is he listens and he hears our cry. The Bible says this amazing verse in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Today, if you feel like you're sinking. And remember, Jonah here is guilty. He's aware he's guilty. That's why he's been willing to go into the water. He doesn't have a leg to stand on with God. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I don't have a right to be here. I don't have a leg to stand on with God. And actually, that's all of us. You know, we sometimes think, well, God's not going to hear me or use me because of X, Y, Z. That's right. But God still hears our cries. He still comes and meets us and lifts us even when we're sinking down. And how does God lift us? Is he going to send us a fish? It's not impossible, but probably unlikely. But he has sent us his son. He sent us his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect one, who came down and down and down into our messy world. Right down, if you like, and grabbed a hold of us. And as Jonah testifies to, he brought me up. Because you and I are precious to him. Jesus came right down into the depths and be willing to die on a cross. He died as he lifted us up. So that you and I might know that as we call on him, we can be saved. Call on the name of Jesus today. That's what we most need. We need his help. He's the one who lifts the sinking. But here's the amazing thing. God, as he saves us, Jesus, as he lifts us, Jonah, as he calls on to God, we don't just get taken straight away to heaven. So often, God saves us right in the nick of time as we call out to him, but he then saves us in stages, many of which are uncomfortable for us. You know, Jonah probably wasn't praying in the water, Lord, please help me. Put me in a belly of the fish for 3 days. That probably wasn't his prayer, was it? And as we cry out to God, so often God saves us and we know we're saved. We know he's got a hold of us. Jonah knew that he was saved. He knew this is a sort of prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God and what he's done for him. But he's still in the belly of the fish. And you and I, we're not yet taken to heaven. We're still going through times where it's confusing, where we feel like God's disciplining us, where he's trying to teach us about prayer, where he's got things that he's doing in our lives that are not straightforward. Have you got struggles? Well, you might do tomorrow, if you don't today. We have challenges even now, but yet we know that God saved us. But in our struggles, he's got things to teach us and to help us. But as we trust him and as we work at deepening our dependence on him, desperate prayer reminds us we're dependent on him, then he is able to work. And even in our struggles, he does amazing miracles. Praise God for answers to prayer. You know, just praying for you guys last night, you're being here, it's an answer to prayer. You're coming with hearts still wanting to give, it's an answer to prayer. You know, I was reading this last little while as I've been coming into World Week, a testimony of one of the churches that we support in India. Katie prayed for the Dalit community. They're the untouchables of India. 250 million of them, the most trafficked people in the world. Many of them slaves. 250 million of them. And they've approached the church asking them to educate their children. So we support a school there in a place called Kalkuntla. Some of us have had a privilege to go to it. There's also a church that's being built nearby. And this village where there's no toilets, no sort of electricity, all that kind of stuff. But they are wanting to build a church. There's no church in that village at the moment. There's a great pastor that we again as a church support. His name is Pastor Prakbara, amazing guy. His church started real small, would have fitted in that little space there on the stage. Not even the full stage, just half the stage. And now they're building this church, which is like that red chair area in the middle there. And already when some of us went to help lay the foundations, it's growing and multiplying so that the people were filling almost the foundation place. But here's a story from a guy in that community. A guy called Siva, they've called him. He came from a Hindu background. 25 years old. Got anyone in their 20s here? Yeah? 25 years old, and yet he was sick. Critically sick. All the attempts of people to help him were unsuccessful. His pain continued to get worse and soon became unbearable. And a few members of the Good Shepherd Church met with Siva and shared the good news of Jesus with him. They started to pray for him. Siva was intrigued and started to attend the church service. And over time, Pastor Prakbara met with Siva to counsel him. The church prayed for his healing and God was listening to the prayers. A bit like Jonah, isn't it? God listened to the prayers and the guy was completely healed. Praise God. And then the guy became convinced of God's power, gave his life to the Lord, and now he's being discipled by Pastor Prakbara. Hallelujah. desperate prayer from the church on behalf of another, and God hears and answers. This is what God works. Amazing grace. He lifts those who cry out to him. So, second and last thing I want us to see this morning. How does God lift the sinking? By desperate prayer and by amazing grace. Verses 8 and 9. I love these verses. I encourage you, if you've never memorized them, memorize them. Great verses to get into your heart and mind. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. This is now, rather than Jonah sort of looking back with his testimony to how he cried out to God and God heard him, this is now him celebrating the amazing grace that God has shown him and thinking, how is that going to now transform his life? And he decides that he's going to live for grace. He's not going to live for worthless idols. He's going to not cling on to those, because he realized that when he was doing that, when he was clinging on to idols, he was forfeiting grace. Why is it that clinging on to idols makes us forfeit grace? Think about that for a moment. Well, it's because when we're looking to something else for our security, other than to God for our security, when there's something else we're hoping that's going to save us, that's going to be the key thing, when we're doing that to anything else other than God, we then don't realize that God is actually all we need. He is the great grace provider. So, you know, whether that's success or money, popularity, when we're looking to those things to find our security rather than to the God of grace, we're actually going to forfeit grace in our lives. So think about Jonah for a moment. What was Jonah's idol? Well, it wasn't his home, because he was willing to leave his home. And it wasn't his possessions, because he was willing to leave all he had to go to Tarshish. It wasn't fame, because he was unlikely to be known in Tarshish. What was Jonah's idol? I think Jonah's idol was the quiet life. Rather than attempting the seemingly impossible for God, certainly rather than preaching to a load of people who he didn't actually love or even like, Jonah just wanted to be normal, like a normal Jew or even a normal prophet, not a kind of extraordinary someone for God. He didn't want to live a life of faith and love. You know, I've known sometimes people like Jonah who are willing to make big changes in their life so they didn't have to do the thing that God seemed to be calling them to do, even whether that was something that they thought was impossible. Maybe even be reconciled with someone. They'd actually rather leave and go somewhere else than be reconciled with a brother or sister in Christ. And the irony is, of course, that never works. We never win when we do that. The best way is always to go God's way. And I want to ask us this morning, what are the worthless idols we're clinging to? Maybe it is that simple life, the easy life. Just a normal life. When God is actually calling us to be extraordinary men and women for him. And when we cling to those idols, we forfeit grace. I've just been haunted by this phrase this week. Forfeit grace. Could you today be forfeiting grace? Let me put this like, there's grace that God longs to give to you. Like bucket loads of it. Because he's God. And you're holding on to something else where he can't give it to you because you're holding on to something else. Might that be happening in our lives today? Pray, please not, Lord. May we let go and not cling to worthless idols, but rather be able to realize that all we need is found in his grace. Amazing grace. When we realize that, it gives us a thankful heart. I love in Jonah chapter 2 here how he says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But when he gets that it's amazing grace, he says, but I, with a song of thanksgiving. There's a thankfulness about Jonah's life now, and it's because he realizes that it's all of grace. As soon as we're clinging on to other things, we fail to realize that grace has done it all for us. But when we do realize it's grace, our lives are thankful. We've been lifted. We have an attitude of gratitude in our hearts towards God. And not just is thankfulness show we've got grace, but thankfulness does this, folks. Thankfulness is one of the best antidotes to coveting and materialism in our lives. When we're thankful for what we have, we're not always eyeing what other people have. When we're thankful for what God has done for us, we're not always thinking, oh, but he hasn't done this. And I get the sense that Jonah, in chapter 2 here, he started to sing. And we're going to sing in the moment. But here in the belly of the fish, I think Jonah, even what he still doesn't know and all that's going on, I reckon he started to sing a song of thanksgiving. And he's actually singing here of salvation that comes from the Lord. In Revelation 7, we see it's very similar to what people from every tribe, nation, and tongue are singing in heaven, that salvation comes from the Lord. It's all of God's amazing grace. No one is going to be singing in heaven, what an amazing church and people of Holland Road, they've done this amazing thing today. No one's singing that. Praise God. They're singing, salvation comes from the Lord. It's his grace. It's his grace. And Jonah knows that, so his sacrifice there in the midst of this is actually made out of thanksgiving. His sacrifice is not saying, right now, my sacrifices are going to save the world and lift the sinking. No, his sacrifice is out of worship to God. His sacrifice is one that says, God, it's all of your grace, so here's my life. Here's my giving. I give it gladly and thankfully to you. So is our giving going to be the thing that lifts the sinking? No. No. Our giving is a reminder that money won't save us. That we don't need this money to save us. God saves us. His grace sustains us. His grace provides you. Everything you have is God's grace. What our money can do is become the means of God's grace to someone else. It can become the way in which God actually works then to work out his grace, like the fish that came and helped Jonah, that God in his grace comes and uses our giving to help lift others. But it's all of God. He's able to do that. And actually, the only things that are really going to last in this world are things that God does by his grace. So we have the privilege today of saying, God, it's all of you. We're going to join you in what you're doing, God. With what we give today and what we've kept today and we're going to give tomorrow or next day or in 20 years' time, we're certainly not going to take it with us, are we? Because we can't. So we're just going to say, God, we want to give it all to you. And we're going to do that with a song of thanksgiving because salvation comes from the Lord. It's all of him. So guys, I don't know what you worked up about today. But I'd actually really like you and I to be more worked up. I'd like you and I to be desperate. Desperate. Not for a successful gift day. That would be a very, very small thing to be desperate for. I'd love you and I to be desperate that if God doesn't help us today, we're sunk. Like you and I to be desperate that if God doesn't help us as a church, if we don't see him come through for us, we're sunk. That if God doesn't help us as a city, he doesn't come in grace because we certainly don't deserve it. He doesn't come in grace and lift us, we're sunk. If God doesn't help us as a nation and help the nations, not because they deserve it, but because of his grace, they're sunk. And so may it, as we give us a wonder and a joy in God. So I'm going to invite the band to come up, and they're going to play a song. Salvation belongs to our God. It's what they're singing in heaven. It's what we're going to sing now. The children are going to come back in and join us. And I want to invite you, just as we prepare to give our gifts. We're going to do it at the end of this song. I want to invite you to do this, to really pray this day. And might be as you've been going through World Week that God's been stoking something in your life, that there might be a place that God is actually calling you to go to. And I want to add specific here, if God is calling you to the Muslim world, I know that in recent years some people from this church have been called to go and reach the Muslim world. If God's specifically calling you to that, will you come back tonight? Come back tonight, and I would love to pray for you, or maybe get some others to pray with you too. And let's pray that God would raise up people who, this is a big thing what I'm just saying there, that God would raise up people who would be willing to, as it were, give it all for the sake of those in that Muslim world. Shall we stand together? Lord, as we end this message, we want to praise you, God, for the privilege of receiving your grace, that you've lifted us, Lord. We want to join you in what you're doing. We want to sacrifice to you with song of thanksgiving. We want to say, God, salvation belongs to you. It's all of you, God. So we praise you. We praise you, God. We need you so much, and you're a God who saves. Come save us now. Come lift us. Come take these gifts. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name. Let's sing together.